been helping.
I am a real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life.
We will be out at Elkmont Exchange on Thursday and Friday for the NCAA tournament. We'll be broadcasting live Thursday. On Friday, we'll at least be doing, I believe it's optional, from 1 to 3 out there leading you up to game time. And then we will figure out how we're going to proceed with the programming after Tennessee's victory over Colgate, but come out and see us. Elkmont Exchange is open daily at 11 a.m. Lunch from 11 to 4:30. Swing by and try their new menu for lunch. Keep your receipt, and Elkmont will buy you one of their tasty brewed on-site beers if you stop in for dinner with your lunch receipt within 7 days. You got that? You buy lunch, you eat lunch, you keep the receipt, you go back for dinner, you show them the receipt, you get a free beer. Come hang out with us on North Broadway Thursday and Friday for the NCAA tournament. Hour two headlines, Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
USC, that's the University of Southern California, is increasing its undergrad tuition by 3.5% for the 2019-2020 academic year. Next year's undergrad tuition and fees will rise from $55,320 to $57,256. It's really expensive to go to USC. They posted the news on their press site yesterday afternoon.
That's pretty expensive. Is that for in-state tuition?
Yes, at USC. But the reason this is a headline, obviously, is because of the stuff last week. It's kind of a funny time to release that information.
They're no longer getting those extra $500,000 bribes.
So they got to raise their tuition now. That's basically what people on the internet are saying.
That's a steep price. Is that for a year of school or a semester? A year, I assume, right?
I hope so.
I assume that's for a year, but still, it's $200,000 for a four-year degree.
What is UT a year now? Over 30, I assume?
For in-state?
Yeah. Let me Google it.
No way. It's over 30 for in-state.
For a year, maybe not for in-state.
I mean, it's not been that long since I've been out of school, and I believe mine were like six. Mine was like $6,000. $6,000 a semester.
Okay, out of state's 30 then.
Okay. 13 a year?
That's really not bad at all.
So that's pretty much still what I mean, that's pretty similar to what it was whenever I was in school.
That's not bad at all. How is it USC that much more expensive? Now, I know it's a private school, but
that's probably a big part of it.
Yeah, UT seems fairly cheap compared to...
Comparatively speaking.
Comparatively, huh? Martellus Bennett will not...
The education bubble is going to pop eventually, right? Like, eventually people are going to realize you can't be taking out thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in loans for a degree that doesn't really mean much unless you're doing something very specific. Because nowadays you pretty much have to go to get a master's degree if you want better than an entry-level job, right? Like the degree isn't doing much for you just on its own. Much better to learn a trade.
On what field you're in.
Right. Sure. I mean, if you're going to do something specific, that's a different story. But if you're going to do what I did and go get a communications degree, that's a waste of time and money. Just go out.
I mean,
the college experience, though, is well, yeah. I mean, that's
is
cool. You're
worth going.
Sure.
I don't know if it's worth that, but
right. I mean, it's worth going. It's cool, but usually the people who say it's worth going, for the most part, are going off of their parents' dime and, you know, not taking out loans to do it. I don't know if it'd be worth taking out $30,000-$40,000 in loans just to go have the college experience.
Well, I don't think it's worth that number, but. College is more than just that piece of paper, though. You know what I mean? The degree. It changes how you think, and what some people say is a bad thing. We've discussed
You could
that.
Just save the
damn,
money and go on
liberal.
Go on two big trips a year. that just cut out the middleman. Just work, learn a trade, and then just go on a couple trips a year.
And you don't become a damn liberal.
And you don't become a damn liberal.
Martellus Bennett will not return. The possibility of playing with his brother appealed to him, but the New England tight end says he's staying retired. I would love to play ball with my brother. It would be a dream come true, but my biggest dream is to change lives with my creativity, and that is what I am currently doing.
And he said he likes smoking weed a lot. He had said that a couple months ago. Like, when they asked why he won't come back, he posted a picture of him just smoking a blunt and said, because I like smoking weed.
Yeah. Well, he also apparently is a book writer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, both of the Bennett brothers, I mean, they are a lightning rod of controversy. Some people love them. Some people hate them. But they do try to do stuff in the community outside of football.
Well, Martellus Bennett will not be playing with his brother, Michael. But Michael was acquired by the Patriots a couple weeks ago, you know. So, interesting note there. Okay. Let's see what else we've got. I just had something. Give me one moment here.
Yeah, no worries.
Oh, Ott Defoe won the Bassmaster Classic. Did you guys talk about that
Ott yesterday? Defoe won?
Ott Defoe. Did y'all talk about that yesterday?
No, we didn't.
Did you pay attention to that at all over the weekend?
No, I didn't.
Just no interest in that? Or?
I mean, I respect it. I respect its place in Knoxville. It seemed like a thing that people were excited about. Like, I hope that they came out impressed with Knoxville. I hope they had a good turnout, and I hope that everyone had fun here. That would be nice for the city to get, like, on a regular rotation. I don't know if it's like the Super Bowl and they kind of keep the same four cities or whatever. I don't know how it works, if there's a chance they'd be back in a couple years or whatever, but maybe some other events.
Yeah, maybe so.
I hope the city had a good showing. But no, me personally, no. Hmm. Not that I don't think it was cool. Like, I just don't care.
So it can't be too cool.
It could be cool to people. There's a lot of things that I think that people think are cool that I don't care about. That doesn't mean they're not cool. It just means I don't like them.
Like filling out brackets?
I'm going to fill out a bracket, and then I'm going to beat you like I did last year. Filling it out last minute.
I picked the champion last year.
So did I. Everyone picked Villanova, buddy.
No, they didn't.
Most everybody. Anyone with half a damn brain did. You want to pull up last year's standings?
Did you beat me last year?
Yes.
How do you know off Smoked the top you. Of your head you beat me?
Because I did really well. Got first place in all my brackets.
It really will.
Got first place in all my pools. That's not all the way accurate, but no, I beat you. You had, who'd you have? You had Arizona in the championship game. Of course I beat you.
I had him
you.
In the final four.
Of course I beat you. You
I had him in the final had, four. You, hey, you can't you give a, me hell about that region, okay?
You had Arizona.
It doesn't matter. You can't give me hell about that region. Who'd you have? Virginia, who lost to the 16 seed? At least my team was still alive.
Mine had Tennessee. It lost to Loyola.
Can't be talking about that region. Have you seen this going on with Tamba Hali? Hali? How do you say his name?
Tamba Ali.
Tamba Ali?
No, I haven't.
Have you seen what's going on with
him? I used to love him at Penn State.
A lot of people think he's gone crazy.
Oh, no.
Completely gone off the deep end.
That's not good. Is he still with Kansas City?
Yes.
Kansas City has a bad track record of this.
He thinks that people are watching him from across his yard. In his neighborhood, he thinks people are watching him, and he's posted all this stuff on Twitter. And now I will say, he's posted a couple of videos where there's like some weird lights flashing and stuff. Like, it would probably freak me out too. But the way he's talking about it, people are kind of thinking he's gone off the deep end. So he posted 12 hours ago a video with some lights flashing, and it looks like some movement across. He's got one of those, what is it, the Nest cam? Is that what the Nest is? A camera?
Anyway, I don't know. I don't know.
If you believe in Jesus Christ and he rose from the dead and he's coming back, there are people trying to hurt me spiritually. Now it's become physically, he says. Then he has a post that says, seems to me those are trees there, not cars in the bushes. This one's during the daylight. Whoever that's gone to Egypt and deploys these creatures there are using it for evil deeds. The world will know who you are, and you will be exposed for this attack. And a lot of people in the comments are saying, like, they hope he gets help, and if there's something wrong with you, we hope you.
Yeah, I mean,
you come out all right.
I would imagine. I mean,
But it does look like some movement across the way there.
Yeah, but I would hope that Kansas City's a little bit more sensitive to this. They had that tragedy. I mean, it's been
seven
years ago when the
shooting in the parking lot.
Yeah, did he kill his girlfriend then himself in the parking lot? Is that what happened?
It was at the team facility, wasn't it? Or like at their
yeah. I mean, I think he killed her and then drove to the facility and then killed himself in the facility.
Yeah.
So I'd hope that they have, you know, are a little bit more hypersensitive to this and that they actually, you know, get a hold of Tom Bali and try to help him.
I'm not sure what I've done to be attacked by this many people, and yet they fell numerous times. He continues to talk about Jesus, which is fine. I mean, but I don't know. A lot of people think by the way he's talking about it, he just seems kind of out there.
Yeah.
Did I notice you across the street sending lightning in my house? I will pray for you. You know you are. I have it on camera. Sending lightning in his house. So that's, you know, it's a little strange there.
You got any more headlines?
So that's Tom Bali. We'll see how things turn out for him. Dana White has agreed to a new 7-year deal with the UFC.
What is his technical role with the UFC? Is he just the president?
He's just the guy who's the face.
I mean, he is the face. I mean, is he the president of UFC? Is that yes. What the – okay.
Yes. The UFC president announced he has agreed to a new 7-year deal to continue running the world's leading mixed martial arts circuit. Here for 7 years. ESPN also here for 7 years. The incredible things that we're going to work on. I can't tell you how pumped I am for all this stuff. So, okay. So he's going to do that. Steph Curry hit a 61-foot three-pointer yesterday, and that was the longest field goal of the season.
Nah, he banked it in.
That was the longest field goal of the season.
He banked it in. I'm not giving Steph Curry credit for his banking of a 61-foot shot. I don't know if you got to hear the part yesterday whenever we introduced the new segment, which is just me giving play-by-play of plays. Did you catch that at all yesterday?
I did not.
I did a really good job of Lou Williams' game winner and Lionel Messi's hat trick. Did that one in Spanish, even. Did a really good job of it.
Why are you doing this?
It's just our new segment where I just read. I don't read. I just reenact through my mind. I don't even watch the play. I just tell you what happened.
How often are you going to do this?
Just every now and then.
Okay.
Curry gets the ball. There's one. The Warriors inbounding the pass. 1.9 seconds left. They get to Curry. He takes a dribble from 60 feet. Bang! Banked in. That's the longest shot in NBA in the NBA this season.
Would you know that immediately?
I don't know. I mean, that one wasn't as good. You had to hear it yesterday. So yesterday was good.
I could be like the color guy, right?
I mean, yesterday I didn't have a color guy, but I guess maybe you could be.
So you could do that, and I could be like, hey, you know, John, that's 61 feet right there. That's the longest shot of the year.
Okay. Yeah, you could get in on it. Yeah. I mean, yesterday mine was really good with the Messi. I'll go back. I'll play it for you. You'll be proud of me. Spanish was immaculate. I'm not giving Curry credit for banking it in. He didn't call bank. That's what I would have said if I was the color commentator there. He didn't call bank.
He didn't call bank on that one.
Yeah. They got beat, though. Spurs look good. Spurs have been playing really well. They had a terrible rodeo road trip. Looks like they might fall out of the playoffs. Since that moment, they've been on fire. They've won 9 in a row. They're all the way up to the 5 seed. Only a game and a half back of the Trailblazers for the 4.
Mm-hmm.
Have a chance to end up with home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. The Spurs have a really easy schedule down the stretch, too. So, A, great call by me taking their win total over as one of my locks. B, the Spurs, who might have two All-NBA players, at least two All-NBA caliber players with LaMarcus Aldridge and DeRozan, might be a tough out in the playoffs. I don't know. They looked really good last night against the Warriors. You got any more headlines?
Yes. A suspected drunk driver reportedly told Nashville Metro Police he was headed back to Manchester from Manchester when he was found passed out in a vehicle following a crash Monday on the interstate in South Nashville. Rhodes also told officers, "I'm drunk, but the people who hit me were all over the road, so it's not my fault."
Well,
he was charged with DUI.
Yeah.
I just like the quote. Yes, I'm drunk. I'll admit I'm drunk, but the people who hit me, were all over the road. It's their fault.
BetOnline has released some spreads for the 2019 football season of the SEC's biggest games. Would you be interested in those?
I love a good spread. Honey butter is probably my favorite.
We'll talk about those next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. We are talking some college football. BetOnline has released some game of the year lines in the SEC. Tennessee's not listed very often, Cody. I don't think we're getting credit for a lot of game of the year potential. In fact, I believe Tennessee versus Florida is the only one I see from Tennessee.
I'm sure that'll be a game.
Have you seen this point spread already?
I have not.
Are you lying to me?
I am not.
What would you guess?
Again, I'm working on the whiteboard.
What do you guess the point spread will be, Tennessee heading down to the Swamp?
At the Swamp?
At the Swamp. That's where we play next year.
14.5, maybe?
Yeah, 14.5. By the way, does Florida and Miami play on August 24th this year? Is that realistic? Is that the truth?
I don't know. I don't know if that's when they play.
That's what it says. That's what it says here, August 20th. August 24th.
How do you play a game in August?
Well, we play August 31st. Or not we, but...
Well, that makes sense. When
the season opens August 31st, but they're playing August 24th.
Camping World Kickoff.
Okay, so they're doing that thing where, like, that's normally, what, like Stanford versus Wyoming or something?
Where's that game at?
That's what I'm trying to look.
I assume it's in the state of Florida if it's Florida and Miami.
Orlando, it looks like.
Is it not going to be really hot right there, August 24th?
Hell yeah, it'll be hot. It'll be 114 degrees.
That's the heat of the summer. That's sweltering right there.
That's as hot as it gets.
Yeah.
That seems like something that Florida and Miami shouldn't want to do. Like, did they get forced into this? Because Florida and Miami, it's been a while since they've played, right? Like, they haven't.
I mean, they're used to it. Like, they'd probably have a home game the next week anyway, wouldn't they?
Something about August 24th feels a lot hotter than August 31st.
That week's going to be hotter than the next week.
That week feels a lot hotter. That one's a little bit closer to July.
Granted, I'll give you that. It does sound hotter than August 31st. August 24th does.
Sounds a lot hotter, in my opinion.
I don't think July is the peak of heat anymore, of hotness. I feel like it's like August 1st.
Maybe August 24th.
This sounds like a really weird game. Like, September's reading the thing, it says... Due to a high demand, only Florida and Miami season ticket holders are going to get a chance
priority
to get them.
To buy. I mean, that makes sense because where are they playing at in Orlando? The Citrus Bowl, I guess?
Yeah.
That probably seats, what, 60,000 people?
Well, it's called Camping World Stadium. Yeah, Citrus Bowl.
I don't know what its capacity is. I don't know why I said 60,000 like that, but like I said, it's been a while since Florida and Miami's played.
It seems like football starts a little too early. Because when you think football, you think fall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about the leaves falling. You think fall weather. And then you think it goes, you know, and then winter is coming. And then boom. You know, then you're playing in the snow. But that's football weather. It starts a little early. I think football should start like mid-September.
I mean, I have a strict rule that I do not go to Neyland Stadium the first 3 weeks of the season.
You don't ever go to Neyland Stadium.
Even when I had season tickets, I always got rid of those first couple games. I was like, I'll just wait till.
I guess if Florida's the third game, I'll try to go, or I'll go out and do something. But man, like, until 2016, like I was not a fan of tailgating, like even any time, but especially in those first couple of games, it's just too hot for me.
Not if it's the Florida game, though.
You suck it up and, I guess, fight through it there.
But even the Florida game's typically like mid-September.
But it's still hot.
Yeah. It is.
It's still hot.
Oftentimes. That 2016 game was hot.
Yeah.
First half. That's why Florida was thriving so much.
Probably. You're probably right.
I probably felt like they were down in Florida.
That August 24th game between Miami and Florida, that seems like a
hot one.
Seems like there's going to be some heat strokes out there.
Yeah, I mean,
there's going to be some dehydration, a lot of cramps.
That's not too uncommon, though, right? I mean, they do that the high school season, they play down there early.
Well, that's something that stands out to me as we look at these early lines, is that Florida getting some respect. Obviously, they're going to be favored over Miami with the new coach and Mark Richt gone. Miami not being in that good of shape. But 14.5 over Tennessee. I guess that's really the only one where they really stand out to be in really with a lot of respect, I guess. And Miami's not any good. And Tennessee, I mean, they beat us by 26 here in Knoxville. I don't think – can we be mad that we're going to be 14.5 point underdogs in Gainesville? Are we allowed to be mad about that?
Mm-mm. No. If you're mad about it, just take Tennessee plus 14.5. If you're so confident, you know. I mean, if you're mad about it, you should be willing to bet on it, shouldn't you? If you think it's an outrageous line, take Tennessee plus 14.5.
Yeah, but we'll get the rest of Florida. I mean, like I said, they're favored by 8.5 over Miami, who's going to stink. Tennessee by 14.5. 3.5-point dogs at LSU. That doesn't seem, you know, disrespectful either way. They are, what, 4-point underdogs against Georgia? That seems closer than you would think, right?
Yeah, this could be the year that Florida, you know, breaks through and wins the East again.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Georgia, I mean, Georgia's got a 2-year hold on it, right?
Well, I mean, it goes with what we talk about. Elite coaches win their division in year two at their school. That's just something that happens. Now, you can say that the odds are too stacked against Jeremy Pruitt to do so in year two, but if you go through the SEC history, you're going to have a hard time finding elite coaches that didn't win their division in year two.
Well, you know, the last four.
It also kind of plays into Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M. Because I think he's elite, but is he going to be good enough to unseat Alabama in year two? Maybe that's a different scenario. Maybe they should at least, you know, win 10 games and finish second in the West. Maybe you can't say that you have to absolutely win the division, but usually that's what happens in history. Urban, Spurrier, Saban, Kirby, those guys have done it.
That's part of why I think if he's really a good coach, he needs to beat Florida or Georgia this year.
Does it change your mind when you see that Florida's 14.5-point favorites and you're talking about Florida, you know, maybe winning the East this year? Does that maybe take off a little pressure of needing to beat them just because it seems like they're really going to be outmanned on the field?
I don't know. I mean, how long are we going to be outmanned on the field?
I don't know. I mean, I think everyone would agree that 2020 would be the year where the Florida game really ramps up pressure. Maybe it does 2019. Maybe people aren't going to yield that. You know, one of my New Year's resolutions that I've been holding pretty steady on is I'm not going to place a big importance on Florida anymore. They can go to hell.
It's always important.
They can go to hell. Don't care.
It's always important.
Just another game for me.
Everyone's always going to care.
Just another game.
It's still the biggest one on the schedule.
Jag.
What?
Jag. Jag.
I don't know what that means.
Jag.
What are you telling me to do?
Just another game. Jag.
Oh. I thought you were telling me to do something. Stab somebody or what? I don't know. Florida.
That would be stab. Maybe jab. Not jag.
Jag.
Yeah.
Jag somebody in the. Sounds like a violent action.
Jag!
Jag!
Every time we talk about Florida, that will be a part of my analysis. Jag!
It's a really big game.
Not for me. Just another game.
I mean, the last 4 years, Florida's won the East twice, and Georgia's won the East twice. Here's what happens eventually. If we don't start winning the damn East, eventually we just don't get seen as one of the elites.
What do you mean eventually?
In the East. What
exactly do you mean by eventually?
Well, here's what I'm saying.
You mean we're at danger of not being thought of as an elite football program?
No. What I'm saying is the college football purists out there, the analysts, still remember us, though. They're still waiting on our return. Eventually, they quit waiting on the return. And we just become, oh, yeah, that team, they were good in the 90s one time.
I think we're pretty much there. We were kind of a joke a little bit.
They're still waiting on us to return. Everybody still respects the brand of Tennessee.
Like, until 2016, like, whenever, like, we wore, like, this, like, remember we wore Smokey Grays in 2015 against Georgia, played pretty close. Or 2014, I guess. Played them super close. Like, it was, like, the going...
2013.
Mid 2013.
The going punchline was just, like, literally, like, oh, they played better than those. They should wear those every week. Maybe they'll get good again. Like, we're just...
What I'm saying is, as a brand, though, we're still an afterthought. We're still respected as a brand. You know what I mean? The brand Tennessee still matters. But eventually, you just become Kentucky. If you just don't win for 30 years.
We're looking at 11 so far.
I think this is our last shot.
This year?
No,
or
I mean
this coach.
This coach.
Okay.
I think this coach is our last shot.
Didn't we say that about Butch?
I don't recall feeling the same way about Butch. If we don't get it done with this coach, though... I mean, I know a lot of people who are already checked out on football.
Buddy, this has been maybe I've just completely filtered out my Twitter following list properly. Maybe I surround myself with people who think like me, but this is the least I've ever seen anyone talk about spring practice.
No, I mean, I think that's how it is.
I mean, I guess on, was it Friday, we gave a little bit of an update on the offensive line? A little bit of one?
The fact that basketball's so good, too.
Oh, that helps.
Has plenty to do with
it. It helps us disconnect, but I don't feel like if basketball wasn't still playing that we'd all of a sudden be checking for our spring practice updates. I'd be curious if anybody could back that up. Maybe I'll text Jesse at VolQuest and see if, like, their traffic, they feel like it's been... talked about less on there because, like I said, I could just be surrounding myself with the right people who aren't talking about spring practice, but you talk about the danger of checking out and the danger of just becoming another program and all that stuff, like, yeah. Yeah, it feels that way, for sure.
I'm just saying, like, at a certain point, you go from being respected and they're waiting on the big Tennessee return to eventually it's just, well, this team's just never coming back. This is basically Kentucky football. I don't think we're there yet, but it ain't going to be long if we don't start winning the damn East.
I don't know if I agree with your take that if it doesn't happen with Pruitt, it's never going to happen.
If it doesn't happen with Pruitt, here's what I mean. That means that this next year is going to be average. Third year is going to be average. Maybe he gets a fourth year and he sucks, and then we can him. Imagine how little you'll care at that point. Compared to how much you care now.
You think 2021, 2022, I'm not going to care about a coaching search? 32-year-old John Reed, you think I'm just going to be moved on and not get fired up when we have to, if we have to fire up the hot boards?
I don't know if you will or not. I don't mean just you. I mean a fan in general. Because you think about the apathy that set in to where we are now. Just saying, we go through that again.
It is
3 years of that. Eventually, you quit watching.
It is going to be a fascinating thing to watch this year, right? Because we discussed the number of actual bodies inside Neyland Stadium, right?
Well, they're buried underneath, but yeah.
No. I'm talking about the 72,000 people that were in attendance at games this year, right?
Oh,
77,000. Just how far the actual attendance slipped.
Yeah, about 30,000 people on average. from our prime.
Does it happen again? Does it continue to slide? Does it go back? I don't know.
I don't see why it would go up unless we're good.
It's wild. This is an epidemic across the SEC. Like, if you want alcohol in state, if you want alcohol in your venues, if you want improved game day atmosphere, game day festivities, a better game day experience, it's not just Tennessee. A lot of these, these mid-tier SEC programs are facing the same thing. I saw this earlier today about Missouri. Missouri was out here lying about their attendance, too. Missouri's actual average attendance for its 7 home games in 2018 was 24,377. Roughly 47% of what the school was trying to report, like in their box scores. The school
for their spring game?
No. Their 7 games of 2018.
Mizzou?
Yeah, and they were pretty – I mean,
they were decent.
They were decent, right.
They had 27 – what'd you say?
They averaged 24,377 actual bodies in their home games.
No way.
I'm telling you.
I don't believe it.
I'm not lying.
You've got to be.
This comes from Columbia, Missouri. I don't know the actual full URL, but, I mean, it was a reputable website.
You're telling me Missouri averaged 24,000 fans a game?
And 377.
I did not know that. That's low. That's very low.
And they were lying about it, saying they were averaging almost 48, 49, 50,000. But the number of actual people showing up was 24,377. And like you said, they were kind of decent and exciting.
Would our basketball attendance not be too far from that?
I mean, our basketball attendance is probably going to come out averaging around 19,000, I'd say.
Yeah.
I'd say we'll finish the year averaging about 19,000.
That's crazy to think about. That's a 5,000 person difference for a pretty decent SEC football team and a good basketball team. Wild. Really wild, man.
I mean, I think it's an SEC epidemic. Like, I don't know if he's mid – like, I don't know how long people line up to watch average teams.
Well, we've been lining up for a decade.
We didn't last year.
No. We have started to figure out – you can only abuse us for about 10 years.
But after that, damn it.
That 11th year, we're going to start to slip away.
You abused me.
That's right.
You abused me 13 or 14 years, and I promise I'm out of here.
You had me locked in a cage for 10 years, and I took it. I took it every day. I ate the scraps you'd throw the bone in for that the dog hadn't finished so I could finish it off. And I did it for years. I suffered through North Texas. I suffered through Wyoming. Not anymore.
Will it bounce back this year? I don't know. Like, I don't know if BYU and Mississippi State is going to be enough to, like, pump the attendance figures back up. It's wild to see. It's wild to think about. But, like, hopefully everyone kind of feels the pressure in terms of getting good. Travis tweets in and says he hasn't cared about spring practice after the debacle in 2016.
That may have been – I think the Alabama game in 2016 was the entire turning point for everything. Because life was sweet up to that point. And when they came in here and took our soul, 49-10, since that day, it's been downhill. I've always said that was the turning point of that season, in my opinion.
So you're saying it started a week before the South Carolina game, basically?
Because you think you're elite.
Or 2 weeks before because you're coming off of a bye.
Yeah, because you had lost A&M, but you were still ranked, what, 9th in the country?
Yeah.
I've always thought that game was the real turning point. When you thought you were a real contender, a real elite, top 10, we're back. Hey, maybe you lose to Bama, but it's not going to be bad. And then they come in here and just blitz your ass.
I remember sitting in the stadium and just feeling like they that Tennessee had punted on that game. That they didn't really want to try in that game. That they kind of realized what was going to happen and they just were just going to try to get healthy. I just remember that being the vibe I had in the stadium. It's going to be really sad. Has Pruitt's quit talking about the whole 102,000 for the spring game, right?
Hope so.
He ain't getting it. I haven't seen much talk about that anymore. Like, I know that was a goal a couple weeks ago or after signing day or whatever. They were really trying to pump up the whole, let's get a sellout for the spring game. Let's pack it in.
He'd be lucky to get 102,000 shoes in that game. Meaning 51,000 people in attendance.
No, I got it.
Yeah. Well, assuming everyone wears two shoes to the game.
Yeah, which that could be a little insensitive.
Yeah, maybe a weird assumption, right? That seems high, too, though. 51,000.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say. 51,000 seems like asking a lot.
Yeah. That would be, I feel like that'd be a pretty good number.
Like I said, maybe I am living in a bubble. Maybe I have successfully crafted out people that I care about, that I care about their opinion, and that talk to me and interact with the show and talk to us. I haven't seen anyone potting. And maybe they've realized it by now. Maybe they realize we don't care about spring practice. But not one person said, hey, can you talk about what's happening in spring practice?
Well, I follow a lot of people that you don't, probably. And I see the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a consensus feel. I don't think it's a bubble.
Let's catch a break. Let's come back. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. If you're a student looking for part-time work, or if you're just someone who needs a little extra cash, my friends at Two Men in a Truck are hiring. If you're able to pass a drug screening, a background check, and have a high school diploma or GED, Two Men in a Truck is looking for someone like you. They offer flexible work hours. Their non-CDL driving jobs allow movers to quickly work their way up and learn the role of driving for two men and a truck without CDL certification. All movers and drivers, like I said, must be able to pass a drug screening and background check. TwoMenAndATruck.com if you are interested in finding some part-time work this summer. What are you grinning about?
Oh, just looking through some headlines.
What'd you find? What's good?
I'll let you know in 15 minutes.
Oh. Did you see what happened last night with the women's bracket?
Yeah, it got leaked early.
How did you feel as a big women's basketball and Lady Vol supporter? Your nerves were probably really going, worried about whether or not the Lady Vols were going to get in. You know, the 38th straight time they've gotten in the tournament, the only program who can say that.
You know who else has been in 38 straight times?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. I just said that, literally, that Tennessee was the only person.
I heard it. I was reemphasizing it.
Okay.
Nobody.
Man, this is really exciting. Stephen A. Smith's doing his top five tournament contenders. I really hope we're on his list. This is what I'm talking about right here. Right here behind us.
You hate it, but
no.
Completely drew your attention.
No, this is what I'm talking about right here. How many actual college basketball games do you think Stephen A. Smith's
won?
We're number three on Stephen A.'s list.
Yeah.
Let's go. Take that, Kentucky. Take that, Michigan State, a.k.a. number four and number five. Please, no Virginia.
You definitely don't care about this. This is not good coverage. We're not watching.
Please, no Virginia. Please. All right, Duke number two. Wow.
It's Stephen A., man.
He's
not going to put Duke number one.
Nah, North Carolina is going to be number one.
Yeah, North Carolina.
North Carolina is going to be Stephen A.'s number one. How many college basketball games do you think Stephen A. Smith's watched?
I bet he's watched a lot.
How many Tennessee games do you think he's watched?
Maybe one or two. Maybe one of the Kentucky games.
From start to finish, you think he's watched a full game?
You mean a whole game?
Yeah.
Probably not. North Carolina number one.
Yeah. Saw that one coming. I would bet a lot of money that Stephen A. Smith has not watched one full Tennessee basketball game all year.
Do you think he watches a lot of sports?
Yeah. but I don't know how. He's always on TV. How does he have time to watch sports?
He is a busy man.
He is always working. If he's not on TV, he's on radio.
Does he sleep?
Sometimes.
I mean, Stephen A. does seem like one of the busiest guys in the game.
I'm going to go out and venture that he has not watched one full Tennessee game. Yet we have him on TV giving us his top five NCAA tournament contenders, which, by the way, he picked all ones and two seats.
He's an expert.
At what? Everything?
Yeah.
He's an NBA guy. I'll trust his NBA takes. Did you not hear his NFL breakdown? The Chiefs-Chargers playoff game? Do you not remember that it was going to come down to that boy Hunter Henry, who's been balling all year, as he sat on the sideline with a torn ACL?
It wasn't even just him. It was like three players.
Derek Thomas. Derek Thomas is going to be a big contributor, even though he hadn't played in a year.
Yeah. He's a basketball guy.
He's like, oh, wait, I didn't mean Hunter Henry. Obviously, I meant Virgil Green. That guy's been balling, as he had like one catch over the last 4 weeks.
He's obviously a basketball guy, first and foremost.
An NBA guy, first and foremost.
If you're an NBA guy, you probably watch some college basketball.
No! Have you ever listened to Charles Barkley trying to break down the tournament when CBS runs him out there? When CBS has him on there breaking down stuff, he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. He does NBA TV all week.
But if you're in the game, like even if, you know, if you're covering the NBA all week, whatever, but even at your hotel room late at night, nothing's on, you probably watch some college basketball.
What time do you think these guys are in their hotel?
I venture to think a basketball guy watches basketball. That's what I'm telling you.
I love basketball. A couple years ago, I didn't watch any college basketball. I watched one non-Tennessee game the entire year 2 years ago. When Tennessee wasn't good, I watched one college basketball game. And I love basketball.
I don't think everyone else is that way.
I think these people who get paid a lot of money to know about certain sports, I don't think they're worried about college basketball. I think that ranks low on their pecking order. So yet every March we run them out here asking for their opinions.
Well, you think like the NFL guys who do the NFL Sunday show, like Terry Bradshaw, guys like that?
They're not watching college football.
You don't think they're watching college football?
Hell no.
I bet they do.
I think they travel on Saturdays.
Why do you think they don't, though? I mean, why do you assume they're not watching the amateur version?
With them, the guys who are in there, usually if you love the NFL, you turn your nose up to college football, first and foremost.
I don't think that's true. I think there's a lot of people who love both.
Did you happen to...
You know all those guys played college football.
They did, yeah.
I'd like to think they still kind of keep up with it.
Who do you trust as well-rounded? Like, do you think would you go to Lee Corso for his NFL updates?
No.
Do you think Desmond Howard is giving you good NFL updates? I'm asking like where you're drawing the line.
I'm asking where you're drawing the line about their analysis. I'm just saying I would think they watch some games.
Oh, well, I'm talking about analysis first and foremost.
Like could Terry Bradshaw really give a good breakdown of the Alabama LSU game?
No.
Is what you're saying?
Well, I'm just saying we're talking about Stephen A. Smith, who, like I said, I'm pretty confident he has not watched more than one Tennessee basketball game. Maybe he watched Gonzaga. No, that was on a Sunday afternoon. He didn't watch Gonzaga. Maybe he watched Kansas. No, Duke and Gonzaga was playing at that point. Maybe he watched Tennessee, Kentucky one day. Maybe.
He's a good personality, though.
Oh, he's great. I love Stephen A. Smith.
You got to have somebody on the TV. Somebody's got to be on the TV doing it, right?
You're not going to find a bigger Stephen A. Smith fan in Knoxville than me. I'm not here to bash Stephen A. Smith. I'm here to bash the practice of how everyone becomes a bracket expert this week.
Well, what else are you going to do? Bring in some analytical nerds and have them just reading numbers off on the TV?
They got Jay Williams on there with them right now, and Jay Williams, I think, is probably someone who's watched a good deal of college basketball this year.
But you're a big numbers guy. Would you rather have one of these analytical guys on there instead of Stephen A. Smith? I mean, because you got to have some personality on there.
Look. I love Stephen A. Smith. You're gerrymandering. This isn't even this or that. You're gerrymandering.
I'm not trying to. I'm asking you.
I would watch Stephen A. Smith read the encyclopedia.
Well, there you go. That's probably their logic on him, right? Reading
a thesaurus. Asinine. Preposterous.
That's got to be their logic on it. Do we really care if Stephen A.'s right? I mean, I think we like Stephen A., so we still kind of like his list.
Well... Not to be a hater, but I'm kind of holding up the mirror to you here. I don't think you've I don't think you've watched a lot of college basketball this year outside of Tennessee.
Probably not.
But you come on here and you tell me all about your bracket, and I'm kind of holding up the mirror like the same way I feel about Stephen A. Smith, a little bit how I feel about your analysis. I don't think you've watched John Morant play a game this year.
I have.
A full game?
No.
More than 5 minutes?
Who cares how many games I've watched? I'm not here to bring you analysis.
You keep telling me your picks, though.
Oh, well, yeah, because I want to get my picks off.
Right, but I'm saying, like, am I supposed to care about your picks? Because
I don't need you to care about my picks. I'm just telling you what they are. We're doing a radio show together,
we are?
So maybe I could tell you my pick, and then you could tell me your pick, and you could tell me why my pick is wrong.
But
it's a back and forth.
But again, I'm holding up a mirror on both of us. I don't know why your pick would be wrong.
Just throw out an opinion.
I've not watched Ja Morant play this year. I watched him play.
Throw out an opinion.
I watched some highlight clips of him. I haven't watched a Murray State game.
We don't have to know everything about the 68 teams. Who does? Nobody.
Very few people.
Nobody.
Again,
that's the beauty of it.
You're kind of proving my point as to why this is all so stupid.
But it's kind of the beauty of it.
It's a beautiful disaster is what it is.
It's like when you see the woman who knows nothing about basketball at all, and she fills out a bracket, and she beats all the men in her office pool because she just wrote in some names. It happens every year.
But how is that like this? I don't feel like that's it. What?
It's the beauty of the whole week that is college basketball, the March Madness.
Right.
We all love it. As a country, we all come together for this. Every one of us.
It's like fantastic.
The Super Bowl, basically.
Having your bracket out and talking about it, whatever, that's fine. I get people like it. That's not what I'm rebelling against. I'm going to fill out a bracket. I just don't think the woman who wins, which, by the way, I was kind of mean you made her a woman. I don't think the random person who wins that doesn't keep up with college basketball, which, is by the way, is almost all of us.
It doesn't have to be a
by
woman.
By the way, it's almost all of us.
It doesn't have to be a woman.
Most of the country
like
does not keep
picked,
up.
I like how you picked that out.
Well, I'm just saying, most of the country doesn't keep up with college basketball.
Well, I don't want to. None of us can talk about it.
I just don't want to hear about it beforehand. That's all I'm saying. It drives me crazy.
You pick the weirdest things to hate.
I feel strongly about them, though.
Yeah.
I dig my heels in whenever I find something to hate. I don't just hate it for half-assed reasons. I hate it.
But I don't feel like you can call me the guy who does that when you do it just as much, if not more. Because you always say, I'm that guy. I think you're that guy more.
I've never hated on Game of Thrones like you did.
I don't.
You picked the absolute most popular things to hate on.
I really don't. I
Seinfeld,
love Game of Thrones.
Friends, The Office, Game of Thrones.
I love
any Avengers movie. Anything that's...
When have I taken a shot at the Avengers movies?
Sometime, I'm
never.
Sure.
Not once.
To be honest, I just made that one up.
Nor have I said anything bad about The Office except that it's overrated.
I feel like if we went back to our DC versus Marvel conversation, I would have found something about how the Avengers were overrated.
You just like to try to label me as that guy. I think it's you
projecting
that on me.
I'm not in denial, though. I am openly rebelling against the idea of everyone talking about their picks on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
So you don't enjoy talking to people about their picks?
Absolutely.
You're saying you
not.
Go out in the lobby here at the station,
mm-hmm.
and Bear comes in, and he's like, hey, man, I was thinking maybe I kind of like this 14 over this 3. What do you think about it? You're saying that conversation would drive you nuts.
Yeah. This week was my least favorite week in high school and in college.
Really?
College, people didn't do it as much, but in high school, everyone carrying around the brackets talking to you about them was my least favorite week of school.
To me, that's the beauty of it, man.
I couldn't wait for Thursday and Friday to get here so I could skip school.
I loved hearing my friends' upset picks. I'm like, whoa, that's ballsy. You're doing that? You're taking who? Because then you tell them, and then if yours comes right, it's like, yeah, I got one. And you know, and they're like, oh, good pick, man, or whatever, you know.
Okay.
It's like picking Mercer over Duke. Everybody's like, whoa, did you guys see where Cody had that in his bracket? How did he know that? You know?
Maybe that's going to be my...
It's all luck.
Maybe that's going to be my play this year. Someone's going to pick nothing but upsets. That way I can say, got it. Got that one right.
There you go.
Pick that one.
It's pure luck, but it's fun in games.
Okay, from now on, that's just going to be my analysis.
Just
taking besides every 1 and 2 seed, I'm taking the upset.
Just pick all high seeds.
Besides 1 and 2, I'm going to pick 1 and 2 to get to the Elite 8, and just nothing else but high seeds. Hour two in the books. Hour three on deck, Stephen A. Smith. I guarantee you that guy's watched less than 5 college basketball games this year. And 3 of them were Duke, Carolina. Hour three on deck. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.